Tonight, I want us to look at prayer focus. Prayer focus. Now, when we pray, and I'm going to use the Lord's Prayer here also. But I thought that you all would find it interesting, if we go over the Lord's Prayer here, to find out some truths about the Lord's Prayer, what it is and what it is not, and then to see why and what are we supposed to do, and what in prayer becomes our part. So, here we go. Luke 11, verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, you'll find out why here in just a second. Well, you know, why would he even get a question like that? Matthew 6, verse 7. This is a statement, and I've used it before in sermons, but this is a statement that we need to listen to from the Lord, because he's dealing here with being repetitive. So here's what he's saying, Matthew 6, 7. "And when you pray," this is Jesus speaking, "do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." Now, you have to remember that since time began, you have individuals who will pray to something or something. You have individuals who will use the prayer as a way of telling others how close they are to their particular deity. Well, the Lord called heathens. Anyone that would offer prayer to any other than God was offering heathen prayer. Well, they wanted to make a show out of it as they would offer it. So, after being asked, "Lord, teach us to pray," here's the Lord's Prayer. This is what Jesus says. "In this manner," you can underline manner, this think about it. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Pay attention to that one also, because how you will forgive your fellow man is what you're asking God to forgive you, just like that. Okay. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, you will see the old English says, "deliver us from evil." And you will see a lot of breakdowns on that. But it is, "deliver us from the evil one." Deliver us out of the clutches of Satan, the evil one. Now, rest of verse 13, you see that I have it underlined and a break dash there. So I did that so I could explain this. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Why would I underline it? For one thing, it's not in the oldest manuscripts. That part of the Lord's Prayer, you will, and if you've ever been to a Catholic service, you will not hear the end of that in their service. And the reason is that it was not in the older manuscripts. It came out in the later manuscripts. And so the King James did not have the older ones, but that doesn't even mean anything. So, well, why do we still use it? For me, I feel now, just because, well, we don't have it in the older manuscripts. Well, we've got to remember, the older ones are copies also. I don't know what the scribes had. You know, we have the oldest of the copies, but we do not have the original. And as one of my professors said, there, don't bother it, preachers, leave it alone, because His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Leave it alone. The controversy would cause more problems. But when we're studying this, we need to pay attention to that. Again, though, my stand is, well, how do we know that this part wasn't on the one before the copy? And it was that copy that was messed up. But there's where you will get into all of these fusses and all of this stuff. So you leave it alone. For thine is kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. For He is. And I've told you all that one before, because the monks, Dr. Redding said you could picture them, because they was always excited. And, you know, as they're going through the Lord's Prayer, and they just keep going, for you are the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Woo! You know, and they're really getting excited, and they're just writing up a storm. Could that happen? Sure could. Sure could, because we have too many copies. But remember, when people say, well, that's saying then that the Bible is not complete. No, it's not. It's saying that we, human beings, are not complete. Any error is not on the error from God. And God's Word is inerrant. And when you will study His Word, you will understand that God uses His Word to speak to our heart. And as He speaks to us, then that is confirming God's Word within us. John 3:16 is all I need for salvation. And I don't even have to have it in the book. All I got to do is know the story that Jesus would relate. But we've been blessed. So, the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. Look up, though, at Matthew 6:7 before we talk about it. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Okay. Jesus says, don't repeat it. Don't just memorize something and repeat it. Well, what do we do with the Lord's Prayer? We memorize the Lord's Prayer and we repeat it. And the Lord is saying, don't do that. When you're praying, we're commanded by the Lord. You may see that in my study I did here. But you will see where He says, don't. When we are praying, we'll go back to the chaplain at the pastor's breakfast, you know, in Washington, D.C., and the chaplain asked to pray. And the chaplain starts praying, and the president says, I'm sorry, chaplain, but I can't hear you. And the chaplain said, that's okay, Mr. President, I wasn't talking to you. So there's where prayer really comes in, that who are you talking to? Are you saying a prayer for others to praise you of how you pray, or are you talking to God? And that's what prayer is talking to God. Well, see, there's nothing wrong with repeating the Lord's Prayer. There's the problem. Have you ever noticed we go too far one way or too far the other? The idea of this is the Lord's Prayer, but this is a model of a prayer, meaning now, what you have to do is you have to understand who God is. And that's what you're going to look at right now. Our purpose of prayer is to focus on this: who God is, where God is, and what God wants. You got it? That's the focus of prayer. Well, see, when a lot of times when we're praying, we're asking God, Lord, help me. Lord, you know, help me. Lord, help me. I'm to pray about, focus on who God is, who He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The prayer reminds us that God says, I'm right here. Remember Elijah's whisper? You know, go, I don't have to use that, Elijah. I'm right here. So let me whisper to you. Now, number one, focus worship on our Heavenly Father. When we're praying, we must focus our worship in prayer. Now, listen, folks, prayer is worshiping God. That is worship. When we bring a petition to God. A worship is when we know that God is on His throne and we're not. Therefore, we want to worship Him and praise Him. How do I praise Him? I praise Him through prayer, by praying for others. I praise Him through prayer by praying for yourself, myself. See, you are a person, whether you know that or not, or whether anybody that you have to live with has ever told you that, but you are a person. And if you don't get your relationship right with Jesus, then you're not going to care whether anybody else has their relationship either. So, Lord, give me the wisdom to rightly divide God's word or to follow your direction in whatever it is that I'm doing. But it's a focus on worship. So prayer has to be focused. But it can't be focused on people say, well, I don't want to pray for small things. I say, you pray for anything and everything. What you don't want to do is pray selfish prayers. Father, that's my enemy, and they say they're Christian, Lord, so I'd appreciate if you'd take them on home, and they'll be blessed by coming in your door because I can't put up with them anymore. Now, see, that's a selfish prayer. Focus worship on our Heavenly Father, Matthew 6:9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Now, that verse is the who God is and where God is. You see it? Who God is our Father in heaven. Where he is in heaven. So we're recognizing where he is. So when we're praying, our Father is in heaven, it means that we are to understand that our Father is the creator of all. Recognize God for being God and not for being our puppet that when something goes wrong, we decide to call him down off the shelf. In the Old Testament, thought you'd want this one too, God is referred to as Father 14 times, but always in relation to the entire nation of Israel. He was never, ever called Father by an individual. It was always the Father of the nation in the Old Testament. Never in relation to an individual. So here's some stats for you about prayer and why as we go over it. Before the coming of Jesus Christ, Father had never been used in prayer. Before Jesus, Father had never been used in prayer, not by Jews and not by the pagans. He was never, ever referred to as Father. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the New Testament, God is called Father over 167 times. Over 60 times in his own prayer life, Jesus called God Father. Now, why is that important to us? Well, whatever Jesus does and says, that's why it's important to us. But remember, when Jesus was praying in front of the Pharisees and all, he called God Father. That had never happened before. They had never heard such blasphemy. He's referring to Yahweh. He's referring to a holy God as a Father. And then when they're questioning Jesus, he said, it's because he's my Father. You know, it's so Jesus then, you know, when they said, we've never heard a man speak as this, like this. They had never heard a preacher like Jesus was, because all of the rabbis in that day, when they would stand to read, they did not dare ever say a word that they did not give credit to the rabbi who trained them. They would always give the credit to the rabbi who trained them. When Jesus was teaching, Jesus is saying, yes, my Father in heaven has sent me. And he stood up against the Pharisees and all this. Well, the common folk, us common folk, got excited because can't you picture the laughter of the people who had been mistreated by the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that time? All of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene and he just completely blows them out of the water, and they could never, ever stand toe-to-toe with him on Scripture. Well, that should have been a big hint for them to realize there's a lot more about this man, Jesus, because he knew way too much scripture. And they weren't going to accept that he was the author of it. But he was. So, when Jesus is referring to his Father, look at the next focus. The word that Jesus often used was the Aramaic word. I noticed I asked a few the other day after our study, what language did Jesus speak? Is Aramaic. But it was the Aramaic word Abba. And it literally means Papa or Daddy. And that was the closeness that Jesus, you know, and remember when he said Abba, Father, on the cross? Daddy, Daddy, Papa. Which made it personal. Then his enemies really hated him because he was bringing God the Father down to his level. And Jesus was trying to get across to them, I am God the Father. I am the visible God that you can see. Because you could not get in the presence of God and even live. But he came so that we could relate directly to him. They sure wasn't going to accept that one. And I guarantee you, folks, today we talk about the birth of Jesus and what a beautiful story that it is. Can you imagine the rumors and the gossip, all the garbage that was going on with poor Mary during this time? Oh, yes, there was a ghost involved in her pregnancy. Oh, gosh, folks, you ought to read some of the historians when they're reading it. You can almost hear them laugh about that. And then, you know, when I would think about that, I thought, yeah, they would laugh today. Let your daughter come in and tell you that and see how many believe it. But it was a fact, and they couldn't catch. So how did Jesus deal with this? He quoted scripture. Do you realize that every argument that they tried to pick with Jesus, he was quoting scripture? And every time that they would try to get off on one of these laws, Jesus would nail them because that law didn't come from God. There's no such thing as that. Said, you all have made up more and you become 10 times the men of hell than the people you're teaching it to. And you will not let them see heaven because you will do everything you can to keep them out. So needless to say, they did not like Jesus. Quoted way too much scripture. To hollow or make holy, to hallow God's name simply means to honor. And honor is deserved respect. A lot of times we will honor a uniform. We will honor a rank on that uniform. We will honor the representation of a uniform or a building. But we do not honor the person that is wearing it. I've seen a lot of jerks in uniform that, you honored the uniform and you'd salute them. And then you were talking under your breath as you passed by, which was, as Christians, God bless them and strengthen them for the day of service. unless they were in Vietnam and you knew you was going to be stuck with them. Okay. He is in heaven. And nothing escapes his notice. There is not a question he cannot answer. There is not a prayer he does not hear. Heard many Christians say, I don't think God heard my prayer. Yes. I don't know where anybody got that. But the Lord hears all prayers of the Christian. He hears all our prayers. And not only that, the Lord answers our prayers. And we're not paying attention to how God answers that prayer. So that's why that we must be prayer focused. We've got to understand that when we pray as Christians, God's going to answer that prayer. Well, what about as a non-believer? When I said, Father, forgive me for my sins, that just opened a door that every prayer from that point on, God hears. And he answers. Okay, but why would he answer it if it's going to harm us? Which would be a great question. I'll probably come to your. But why would he do that? He will hear the prayer, and to show you he heard it, he will not answer it to the positive, okay, you can do that. He will not answer a prayer that does you harm. Well, I thought all Christians then would pray and his prayer is heard. It is. But and then God's going to answer the prayer? Yes. A lot of times the answer is no. A lot of times the answer that he gives, you pray for one thing and something else happens. And, you know, I've heard many former couples or any of this that would get into those type of statements, said, you know, I did pray, Father, help me make this work with this man and all of this, and wake up one day and said, no, they're gone. But 2 years later, they're happy with a family that's, and think, oh, God, thank you for not answering that prayer. Normally, I would deal with those through those who had been abused physically. And while I'm on that, especially for those who are listening, I don't have any problem believing that anybody in this room would certainly handle it. You are not required by God to stay with any man or woman who physically abuses you, who beats you, who treats you like dirt all the time. No. But now you got to remember the law. I do remember it. Jesus died for it. But Jesus also died that me and you have to have some sense and realize, oh, I'm going to glorify God by taking another beating. Now, that's not of God, folks. Okay. Look at 2 on our focus. Focus on the Father's will. Now, you're getting focused in your prayer. And that's why we said, not my will, but thine be done. Well, we say that because we know that Jesus said it, and that's what we're supposed to say. Well, no. You got to focus on it and believe it. Father, I trust you. In my prayer life, I trust you to look at my life, look at my heart, and then we read that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers in the presence of God the Father. You know why? You and I don't know how to pray. What we know how to do is carry on a conversation. That's what prayer is with God, a conversation. Well, I don't know what to ask for. That's why the Holy Spirit gets involved. He reads the heart, the desire to find out, you know, what is good and what is right. And that petition is taken to God the Father because we don't know. Well, folks, things that we would have prayed for or not prayed for a few years ago, we pray for now all the time. When you've lived a little life and you've seen what life is all about, the brokenness and a lot of times more bad times than there are good times, but the good times are so good that we get excited waiting for another good time. You get knocked down a lot in this life, have you noticed? Now, I'm sure you all haven't, but you think of that. When you live life, you see just a little bit of hell and a little bit of heaven. And too often we choose to sin. You know, I just want to go do something bad one time. Gosh. And Lord, get me out of this one this time and I won't do it again. So the one time really starts doubling. Have you noticed? People say, I don't go out and do that kind of stuff. Folks, sin. We are sinful people. Sinful by nature. I mean, we can't even say God loves you without sinning in the process of saying it. So God says, I'll take care of you. Now, how do I praise your name? Because I know you're taking care of me. You help others. You lift up others. You share your brokenness with someone else who is broken. Have you ever been around those people that say, well, I don't understand why he's hooked on that stuff? I never been hooked on alcohol or cigarettes my whole life. As a matter of fact, I never touched it, never tasted it, never smoked it, and I've never been hooked. And I said, well, shut up. They don't need to hear that. If you don't have any faults in your life, how are you going to help the other person? Okay, two, focus on the Father's will. Matthew 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was the outpouring of the kingdom of God. You and I, the kingdom of God is within us. Who is Christ? Who is us? We are the temple of the kingdom of God. And this temple, with all of its flaws, doesn't have any kind of control over the Christ who indwells us. He is the one who makes us holy. But we're full of flaws. Our roof leaks. And everything about us leaks most of the time, or is broken. It is just horrible, right? But Jesus is quite comfortable in the old broken down temples. So comfortable as his child, he said, I'm going to build you a brand new one. Matter of fact, I'm going home to my Father's house. See, there again, he said he's going to the Father. Drove the Pharisees really well. He said, I came down from the Father and I'm going back to the Father. It's a wonder that they even lived long enough to crucify him, because they kept beating their chest and tearing their garments and you know, sackcloth and ashes and all of this kind of stuff to show what horrors were going on with this man Jesus. He claimed to be God. And remember, Jesus said, okay, you're wanting to crucify me because I say my Father has sent me. I cause the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dead to rise. Over which one of these miracles do you find fault and are going to crucify me? They never wanted to talk about the facts of who Jesus is. They had their script. Sound like a politician. You know, they got, this is what, now all of us are going to go out there today and we're going to say this. Jesus goes out there and he doesn't even come close to any one of them, period. And they said, what blasphemy that is. Yet, do you know that you will never find any of the Pharisees who condemned Jesus raising the dead, making blind to see, or the lame walk? But Jesus did. Remember that one guy, when the priest called him in, tell us who did this to you. Remember? And the guy looks at him, and, well, I got a little background on that. The guy's looking at him, and he said, wait a minute. This man, you all have walked by me my whole life, knowing that I could not walk. And this man comes and he says, walk. And I'm jumping up and down, and you people don't even know who he is? You come to me to ask me who he is? Oh, I love that part of it. He says, I don't know, but one thing I do. I once was blind, and now I see. I was lame, and now I walk. I know that. All right. That's what God wants, is for us, folks. We ask God's kingdom to come. We are asking God to sit on the throne of our heart and life, accepting his will in both. That kingdom come. We're asking God to, you know, forgive us of our sins. The Lord, the instant, folks, of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells us, which is Christ, which is God. And as he indwells us, his kingdom is not only among us, it's in us. Making it more personable, when this body ceases, God's kingdom doesn't. I don't, nor will you. No, none of us. When we've said yes to Jesus, because of God's kingdom that we live in right here, nothing can ever get rid of God's kingdom. It's eternal, never ending. So I then become a part of the kingdom. What do I go to next? Well, I got this new mansion. And I brought it up one time. I said, did you all ever stop to think that maybe the mansion that the Lord is talking about is the new body? But not us Baptists, because we want a big, shiny something up there. But it's a new body that'll never die. That'd be a mansion for me, wouldn't it? Huh? You? Okay. The number one priority of prayer is not to get God to do what we want, but to ask God to do what He wants in our life. And that's a nervous prayer, folks. We get afraid. Father, I want to lift this loved one to you, that you will deliver them back from their sickness and back to the service with you, with us as part of the fellowship. Is that a wrongful prayer? No. Why? Because we know something. As a Christian, we understand there is that appointed time to die. Now, if that individual has reached that appointed time, all the prayers can never change that. Didn't with Jesus. Jesus himself asked. But it couldn't change it, because he said, but my time has come. The appointed time was there. But if it's not the appointed time, and it's just that, you know, we're hurt, or we're, or, you know, the illness and all, and we pray for one another, folks, because we don't know when that individual's appointed time is up. So therefore, if it is not, Father, we pray and ask in your will that you will deliver them. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's why we're supposed to, a lot of Christians say, I don't know why to pray then, if I don't know. Hey, you know, Gavin, you heard people say, well, you know, it must have been their time to go, or they wouldn't be dead. That's not true. That's not scriptural. A lot of people cut their life short through foolishness, right? The trouble comes when we focus on our will and not God's will. God, I want you to answer my prayer. Now, you let me tell you how I want you to answer it. To worship God means focusing on who God is, where God is, and what God wants. You have to recognize God as God. And we want what He wants for our life. Because our picking and choosing of what we thought we wanted and all don't work. We got, what is it, buyer's remorse on a lot of part of life. And a lot of times you will be able to praise God when we get to be with Him, because thank you, Lord, I'm so thankful you didn't answer that particular prayer the way I wanted you to. Because I see your hand now.